NPR, but its affiliate. And tonight we're going to give you a secret look at the underbelly of politics.
Hello? Yeah, this is Father Antifa, down at police cover-up headquarters in Baltimore. The dummies here, let's call it Baltimore. And every time one of our Soros soldiers gets whammied in our nonviolent Antifa protest, I gotta talk like these inner-city hicks and call for an ambulance. Mrs. C, you know how they are. You call it so well, the deplorables. It ain't just here. In Baltimore, natives can't speak the king's English. It's all them rednecks that Trump loves so much in the Appalachian foothills. Heck, it don't matter whether it's Tennessee, West Virginia, or PA. Those retards can't never speak nothing right. Illiterate, I says. Them in the Midwest, too. Pockets of people. We've tried and tried to dope up on aspartame, fluoride. What's that, Mrs. C? Yeah, I heard Europe is going to start pacifying their deplorables, too, after Brexit and all of that, putting fluoride in the water. Calm down, Mrs. C. I know you had a real bad setback again. If that November election wasn't enough, and now last night, too, the State of the Union address. What's that? You want to know if you can ask me a question, woman to man. Where's Harvey Weinstein when we need him? You and he are real chummy at Planned Parenthood galas. You could ask him, not me. Well, what is it? What? You want to know how you and your chic Marxist red pantsuit compared with Melania Trump and her angelic white one? I can only tell you the truth, Mrs. C. No one is as charming as you. Your pleasing size and shape. Cheer up. George might have some more Antifa train derailments planned for early spring. Oh, getting a call from Europe. Speaking of the devil, gotta run. Father Antifa, U.S. headquarters speaking. What? What did you say? Mr. S and the whole gang want me to accidentally turn on the Samsung TV in a typical American deplorables household and build a new dossier from their reactions to Trump's last night State of the Union address? Hey, hold on a minute. You're not going to ask me to stick out my neck like someone did before and go to the FISA court, are you? Even Lindsey Graham doesn't like things. They're getting too hot. Nunes and those nitwits in Congress are going to release the memo in about 5 days from the House Intelligence Committee outlining what they call FBI surveillance abuses in Trump's campaign. Yeah, I got to monitor the Divided Kingdom radio program, too, to check their expose right after I tune in. Now, as you asked, to get the Samsung dossier going on them two typical American deplorables. What's wrong with this intercept? Oh, now I have it. Entering the living room of the Pockets home. And I can do it all of your homes. I don't need Alexa. Father Antifa, a.k.a. Fatherland Security, signing off. Remember, Section 702 was renewed.
Watch it, fella Lou. You almost ran over me with the vacuum cleaner.
sorry, Pat. I guess I was a little overzealous in trying to get all them little dust balls in the corner by our new Samsung TV. You know how I prize it. All of them new TVs with them fabulous big flat screens and so many gadgets and devices that we hardly can even imagine what they're all for.
That's right, Sally Lou. Killigilly left his dirty socks and cut off the line there again.
Killigilla, get down here now.
Oh, Ma, I was just doing my Twitter upstairs. Why'd you call me?
You got a stuff there. Look at that stuff. Pick it up. Son, but while you're here, we ought to have some family time. The real powers of the world, like Joel Osteen, Oprah, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Rick Warren, even Hillary. It takes a village. Say that we need discussion time together and cut back on all this virtual reality and texting stuff. They all think it might be ruining the minds of the young generation.
Nothing wrong with my mind, Ma. And I got good teaching down at my public high school. Yeah, son. What did you learn this week there? Well, the history teacher told us the real truth, that our first president, George Washington, and his gang members, like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, were the earliest terrorists.
I also heard your school, colleague, was still using Common Core curriculum.
Yeah, they made me do an exercise. An exercise in special thinking. Four people on a boat sinking. I had to pick one out of the three and let the other three die. I didn't like doing this. It didn't seem good. Dad, after all, your sermons in Sunday school and all that...
Clegg, I'm proud of you. The elite think we're no nothing. I mean, we're less than nothing. Just middle-class Americans they can dupe. But, Pat, was it Abe Lincoln who said you can fool all the people some of the time or some of the people all of the time, but you can't never fool all the people all the time?
So, Lou, I think that's just right.
Now, for our family discussion, what did you both think of President Trump's State of the Union message, Clegg?
I'm afraid to talk. Where's Alexa? And I heard our son's on TV can listen in. Son, we didn't buy Alexa. Remember, Sally Lou said she didn't want another woman talking back to her when she's the only woman at the house. That's probably just jumbled decook from patriot broadcasters like Alex Jones. How the TV can snoop. No, Dad, it's real. Even the MSM admits it now. But you asked me what I liked during Trump's speech. I liked that group on the right that never clapped. They looked mean, like people I've seen gangs on the street.
Clegg, you're so much more advanced than your dad. Pat, I wish you could pronounce gobbledygook right, but you have a little problem. But anyway, Clegg, back to you now. It ain't nice to talk about these people. They were the Democrats. They're our leaders in Congress. And one of their oldest members is Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, yeah. I saw a panel of people on Fox News Channel talking about her the other day. They showed a video clip of her complaining that under Trump's new tax laws, people might get an extra $1,000. Nancy said that $1,000 was worthless. Some of the Fox panel disagreed. One said, "Think how much food that would buy for a family."
Nancy Pelosi lives in a big mansion, son. She may have forgotten what it was like if she was ever poorer. She didn't look happy during most of the beginning of the State of the Union address.
You mean that older lady with her face all wrinkled up and pointed?
I guess that's the one, son. She was high up in charge in 2016 at the Democratic Convention. And, you know, Pat, and I noticed something shocking that she should have done. She should have done something with. And, colleague, it is that we all noticed something. You know what it was? There were no American flags there. I remember that you asked both of us, why? And I said, it's a disgrace. It's treason to America. That's what I said, and I meant it.
I thought Mr. Trump showed us a real Christian heart all through his talk. Yeah, Dad. Me too.
I agree. It was so touching when the soldier who was saving his buddy, you know, during combat with ISIS, and when he was honored and stood up, and the man who found the woman so drugged out.
The one God actually spoke to and said, you can do it.
Yes, that's the one. And that man and his wife listened to God and took the woman's baby to raise. They were even there last night holding the little one. But, you know, Pat, I think you also liked another one.
I also thought highly of the young boy, colleague, who put flags on 40,000 veterans' graves. There could have been a lesson to Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats, Dad, how important the flag is because it stands for all of us who love America, not to even die for our country.
Well, speaking of Sally Lou, I think that it was kind of neat, too, that President Trump recognized the value of that young man who put out the flags. He said he was very special and meant that he would have a great future. And, Pat, what else?
I think it's great that Detroit might build us cars again. The companies are coming back to the U.S. Sally Lou and Kaliga don't matter what lies TV news says. I think most Americans like Mr. Trump's honoring God and Christianity with his words and helping people become more prosperous with his actions. Son, that's what's been a good neighbor is. Being a good neighbor is not looking down on people, calling them deplorables, but helping and protecting all of us.
And I'm just so thankful, Pat, that ISIS is being stopped from taking over in America. And, Khalid, what do you have to say? Anything more than when we're getting near this summary of our family discussion? Thanks to Oprah. She might become president someday. Oh, my word. But anyway, what about it, Khalid?
I'm glad I have real American parents. Want to love Jesus and our country. Son, we have so much to be thankful for. God's blessings, sparing us some judgment. Let's turn on that radio program we used to listen to, the Divided Kingdom, and see what they say. It's time for their broadcast. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom broadcast. This is Lou Caramelli. Elizabeth Caramelli and I watched and heard all of President Trump's State of the Union message. What seemed most evident to us was the quiet compassion and sincerity in all of the proceedings. Much seemed to be honoring the best facets of our Christian beliefs and heritage. The heroes and heroines mentioned by our cartoon characters, the Pockets, exemplified this shining spirit of Christ's love, such a contrast to the murderous ideology of radical Islamic terrorism. So different for the young boy, nurtured to care about putting flags out to honor fallen warriors of freedom. And many other young boys forced to strap on bombs for terrorist suicide missions. Elizabeth, you had one comment how you felt personally.
Yes, I told you that I thought that watching last night was one of the most memorable moments of my entire life. And that even includes remembering another president, John F. Kennedy. As Christian watchmen, we rejoice that God Almighty has given America a time of reprieve from judgment. And that will again be coming back should repentance not occur in God's church, in causing pastors and congregations to break silence about 60-plus million abortions and the legalization of same-sex marriage. Tonight, we celebrate God's goodness and mercy to us. And, of course, we have some reservations about the Trump administration. There are some globalist influences. We're very concerned about the buildup of arms in the Ukraine and certain things in which we hope and pray the Lord will show discretion and determination to keep our people safe from a terrible war. But at this moment, we must appreciate what God Almighty has done for us. It's so important. And I will first read Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round him. Round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
And Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity.
Now, the big breaking news is the memo coming out from the House Intelligence Committee and from the chairman, Devin Nunes, and it has been approved by Congress to come out, and if President Trump says it's a go, I believe there is a 5-day waiting list. Now, some of you listeners may not understand what this is all about, and we'll review this a little bit for you. And before we do that, we would like to thank a number of you listeners who wrote us wonderful messages. We both had pneumonia. Lou got it around November 21st, and then He appeared to be better, and he took me to the dentist on December 19th. So I let down my guard, not, you know, staying away from him, coughing. And he had a relapse, and then around December 22nd, I got it too. And it has been a rather long haul. I said I had been out of our home twice since about November 20th. And so during this time, you know how God does things. He makes lemonade out of lemons. I was able to organize a lot of my files, and laughable to some people, they're not on the internet, they're on pieces of paper, but I was able to organize a lot of things and organize a lot of things in our personal lives too. So I felt the time was not wasted. But during that time, we got some wonderful responses from some of you and a few contributions. We really thank you for money and for stamps. That always helps us. So when we tell you what we'd like you to do, number one is pray strongly for our country, for President Trump, because we are now in a more Christian atmosphere, and we have been spared possibly even those re-education centers in the rebuilt military closed bases had Hillary gotten in. We can laugh all we want about that pantsuit business, but underneath it is a very serious scenario that might have occurred. So I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that we're still in our homes, and we're still able to read the Bible. We're still able to pray for each other. So we ask you to pray for us, and we do pray for you, listeners. And we've made a New Year's resolution to read the Bible more regularly. You know, I was really enjoying it today when I was hunting for passages that would be thankful to the Lord, because he really needs this gratitude from us. He should have it. I guess God doesn't need anything, but we know that he has emotions. He loves to hear a thank you. And we were just so overwhelmed with those wonderful Americans, those ordinary Americans who stood up and who had helped people. That woman, heroin, was wonderful too, the young woman. You see, not all the millennials are stupid, and they're not all going to be anti-Christian. I read something very interesting with a complaint in one of the mainstream magazines about people not really taking to the flu vaccine enough, that only about 50% of Americans are getting it. And it said 1 in 5 millennials now believe that some of the vaccines cause autism. So you see, maybe some of their children will be spared. Now, we want to again say that you can hear us on LWRN.net, that's Liberty Works Radio Network, on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating 11 p.m., and more of our programs from our archives, former programs. If you look at their website, you can look for the times that you can hear that, and that is LWRN.net. We want to thank Todd Waite of Global Star Communications. We have now been with him since about July of 2011, and where would we be without him? Yes, the New World Order wanted to stop us, absolutely stop us, when we left GCN in a surprising move. But we know that something like that happened to Dr. Stan Monteith, too. Right before his final years, another network just severed him quickly. So that we know that the powers that be probably were chortling, oh, we're rid of them now. They're a little program, but they do reach some hearts and minds. And a wonderful man at WWCR said, you know, you might call Todd Waite. And we did. And so we are just thankful that God Almighty can take a little mustard seed like our program, and it's growing a little bit. We are hearing from more people than we ever did when we were on that network. So, you see, we're on God's network. No commercials, and we know that some of you really appreciate it. We love that note from somebody in Virginia who said you have a great program. What we'd really like to ask you is if you'll not only pray for us personally and for the program, for our health, for for our finances because we have large debts, but we ask if you will try to prayerfully find one or two people every week that you tell about our program. So now also we can be heard on WWCR, that wonderful shortwave that goes around the world. And we sometimes hear from a pastor in Africa who heard us. We hope he's doing well. We think we got an email from him, Pastor Mike, that he had an operation. So if you're listening, Pastor Mike, we pray for your healing, and we ask the listeners to pray also. So it's so important that you tune in at 4.840 megahertz Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock Eastern Time or on the Internet, wwcr.com. Now, we're going to get back into what this story was, what this memo reveals. So we're going back as far as November 1st, 2017, to Byron York's column, Investigators Looking into the Trump Dossier. Now, you recall that this was a dossier that was kind of fabricated by an MI6 person, I believe, a retired person. I think his name was Christopher Steele. He was a foreign agent. And he was hired by this company, Fusion GPS, to compile the Trump dossier. And so now this news began to break there around November 1st that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, working through the Democrats' law firm Perkins Coie, and this is Byron York speaking, financed the compilation of allegations of Trump collusion with Russia in the 2016 presidential campaign. The, quote, salacious and unverified description, Byron York has just mentioned that, I had left that out, came from Comey, he says. And so the story began to break because he says credit the much maligned Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Nunes has been pursuing the dossier more aggressively than anyone else, and it was his October 4th subpoena for the bank records of Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that handled the dossier, that finally shook loose the information. But knowing that the Clinton campaign, the DNC, and Perkins Coie supported the dossier is not the end of the story. The most important next step is the FBI. And we have to also review that there were unsavory things, completely unverified, about President Trump and hookers in Russia. You know, when the enemy tries to really be very ugly, they usually are stupid. It's not the deplorables. It's not you and I in middle America. It is people with reprobate hearts and minds who need to turn back to Jesus Christ and say, I am sorry. I grieve over my sins. I feel sorrow. Will you save me? Life is very short, listeners. I think about when I was a very young woman, and I was working in a department store in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I had to rush to catch a bus. I lived at the Salvation Army home for young women. It was called the Evangeline Residence. And I had to really rush to catch this bus back to the city. I was out in the Northway Mall. And there was a woman working there, and she had such a kindly face. And she was always, I think, concerned about me because I always had a harried look. And she turned, and she said, you should slow down. And she said, life is too short. You should enjoy it. And those were the last words I ever heard that woman speak. On Monday, when I came back, the gentleman who worked in the furniture department, who were watching me try to sell Hammond organs and so were sort of chuckling, but they ended up being very wonderful guides in life to me, especially one who is now deceased, Ludwig Lettrick. He really, really made the difference in my entire life to guide me, to mentor me right there in that store. And he said he had been a Sunday school teacher of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall's children when he lived a higher life, a little bit more celebrity-driven life in California. But at any rate, there we were, you see, in that situation. And on Monday, when I came in, the men had a somber look, and they told me, that woman who told me to slow down and enjoy life had been killed over the weekend in an accident, like a traffic accident. So you see, you may think you have 5 years, 10 years, 20 years before you have to really face death, and you have to face our great judge. I wouldn't want to be standing there and have done some of these things that we're telling you about without repentance. But I think it's important now that Lou and I always witness and that we often pray on air, because we count on the real Church of Christ to be praying prayers of intercession, prayers to foil the enemy, for Jesus to foil the enemy. God says he will laugh. He's going to laugh at some of these world powers who think they're going to be omnipotent eternally. So now we're getting back now to this Byron York article. Nunes pursuing this dossier and getting these bank records from Fusion GPS. And then sometime in October 2016, that is at the height of the presidential campaign, Christopher Steele, the foreign agent hired by Fusion GPS to compile the Trump dossier, approached the FBI with information he had gleaned during the project. According to a February report in the Washington Post, Steele, quote, reached an agreement with the FBI a few weeks before the election for the Bureau to pay him to continue his work. Byron York says it was an astonishing turn. The nation's top federal law enforcement agency agreeing to fund an ongoing opposition research project being conducted by one of the candidates in the midst of a presidential election. Lou, do you think this dwarfs Watergate?
Oh, I think it was. The Watergate was merely a bunch of guys breaking in to see if they could find a few things in the Democratic National Headquarters in the Watergate building in D.C. Next to that, this is tampering with the election. This is trying to swing the election over to the Democratic candidate.
And what about what was just mentioned, that the FBI was put into this?
That's right. Watergate had a few low-level amateur criminals. That was it. There was no government big organizations involved.
We may not be right on that. There's some other stuff that's out there floating around, but that might be a naive view. But when you think about it, there were individuals, basically. There wasn't our whole FBI, which has been known for its sterling character in really going after criminals. Isn't that true? Despite some of the abuses that we had in the FBI earlier.
Yes, that's right. There were a few abuses, but by and large, the FBI remained above the fray when it came to politics. They didn't try to swing elections. They didn't try to favor one candidate or another or smear a candidate.
And so here you see they are being bought. That's really big. The Bureau was going to pay him to continue his work, Christopher Steele. Now, they claim that they never did. Byron York says, in the end, according to reports, the FBI did not pay Steele. But, of course, this dossier never went away. And then we come up to, as the thing began to heat up more, around January the 5th, even Lindsey Graham, the globalist, who really was promoting the war in Ukraine and wanted that takeover, that changeover politically, it was surprising that even he started to get cold feet. Lou, again, this is Byron York on January 5th.
Meanwhile, in a Fox News interview on December 29, Senator Lindsey Graham strongly suggested there is something untoward in the dossier material. Nothing that Special Counsel Robert Mueller is not investigating the dossier, that Special Counsel Robert Mueller is not investigating the dossier. Graham said Graham, has finally gotten a look at the origins and use of the document. Quote, I've spent some time in the last couple of days, after a lot of fighting with the Department of Justice, to get the background of the dossier. And here's what I can tell you, your viewers. I'm very disturbed about what the Department of Justice did with this dossier. And we need a special counsel to look into that, because that's not in Mueller's charter. And what I saw and what I've gathered in the last couple of days bothers me a lot. And I'd like somebody outside the Department of Justice to look into how this dossier was handled and what they did with it, unquote. Host Brian Kilmeade asked Graham whether he was disturbed by the contents of the dossier or how the Justice Department used it in the Trump-Russia investigation. Graham continued, quote, "And the one thing I can say, every prosecutor has a duty to the court to disclose things that are relevant to the request. So anytime a document is used to go to court for legal reasons, I think the Department of Justice owes it to the court to be up and up about exactly what this document is about, who paid for it, who's involved, what their motives might be. And I can just say this, after having looked at the history of the dossier and how it was used by the Department of Justice, I'm really very concerned, and this cannot be the new normal," unquote.
Now, what Lindsey Graham is implying is that did the FBI or other agencies use any information from this dossier as a basis for warrant requests before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court? That's FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And Byron York had asked this question. In other words, did say the FBI used the dossier's salacious and unverified information to make the case that the Bureau should be granted the authority to conduct intercepts. Now do you see that whole chain of command from Hillary's people to faking up this dossier and then taking it to the court and using that to do illegal surveillance on Trump supporters and Trump people? We also have the larger question about Obama and the FISA court and all of those conservatives. What was used against all of us, a number of us probably? So we're getting closer now to the end of these 5 days and what will happen. And now there was more important background that we may have given you before, but it's very important. David Harsanyi, Monday, January 29th, had a column that really gets into this too, because naturally there was kind of an effort now to stymie getting Devin Nunes's memo out. Let's hear all about this.
The Russia fake news scare is all about chilling speech. Last week, Republicans began to call for the release of a memo authored by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes that purports to lay out a series of abuses connected to the FBI surveillance of Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. As often happens these days, a Twitter hashtag, "Release the Memo," evolved around the effort and was widely retweeted by Republicans and elected officials. It didn't take long for a report to emerge that claimed Russian-sponsored Twitter accounts and bots were the real driving force behind the viral call for the release of the memo. Without worrying about the veracity of this convenient claim, all the usual suspects giddily spread the story across social media, probably because they have such a deep reverence for truth in the era of Trump. The report also prompted Senator Dianne Feinstein and Representative Adam Schiff, both Democrats, to pull out every fear-mongering catchphrase available to demand that Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg perform an, quote, in-depth forensic examination, unquote, on the, quote, ongoing attack by the Russian government through Kremlin-linked social media actors directly acting to intervene and influence our democratic process, unquote. It's difficult, it seems, for some people to embrace neutral principles nowadays. But if you genuinely believe that President Donald Trump's distasteful tweets are attacks on the foundations of free expression, how could you not be alarmed by a pair of powerful elected officials demanding that social media companies hand over information about their users? What would they say if the president had sent a letter to Google insisting it give the executive branch a, quote, in-depth forensic examination, unquote, of the political opponent's searches. As it turns out, reports today say that Twitter's internal analysis found it was mostly Americans, not creepy Slavic-minded control robots, who were behind the hashtags. Not that it really matters, anyway. If a group of Americans has a legitimate issue to rally around, how is it supposed to control what outsiders do? It's not as if hashtag release the memo was secret or illegal. Republican politicians were openly using it. Yet if Feinstein and Schiff had their way, Twitter and Facebook would have moved to quash the release the memo hashtag for what apparently turned out to be solely partisan reasons. Sounds like a power that can be abused. Even if the two had been genuinely troubled by Russian hashtags, yes, suspend your disbelief. The source of fake news is not always easily discernible. Sometimes it comes from an anonymous Russian bot, and sometimes it's retweeted by a prominent journalist. Democrats have manufactured panic over amateurish Russian propaganda to not only claim that Russian President Vladimir Putin was quote-unquote meddling in the election, but also to argue that interference had the power to turn the election to Trump. With this risible idea in hand, they have created paranoia about social media interactions and rationalized infringements on expression. Not long before demanding forensic investigations into hashtags, Feinstein was demanding that Twitter, Facebook, and Google restrict their content more tightly, threatening, quote, do something about it or we will, unquote. Democrats have attempted to control interactions through the Fairness Doctrine or the IRS and now through the Russia scare. Part of living in a free country is dealing with messy, ugly misinformation. Lots of people in the U.S. seem pretty impressed by how they do things in Europe. In Britain, Prime Minister Theresa May is launching a, quote, rapid response unit, unquote, run by the state to battle the proliferation of fake news online. The, quote, National Security Communications Unit, unquote, will be tasked with combating misinformation, as if it has either the power or ability to do so. In France, President Emmanuel Macron is working on a plan to combat fake news, which includes the power to institute an emergency block on websites during elections. What could possibly go wrong? Me? I'd rather we live with Russian troll bots feeding us nonsense than authoritarian senators dictating how we consume news. I mean, has anyone yet produced a single voter who lost his free will during the 2016 election because he had a Twitter interaction with an employee of a St. Petersburg troll farm? Or do voters tend to seek out the stories that back their own worldviews? If your argument is that Americans are uninformed, and easily misled, I'm with you. Just look at all the people who believe that a $46,000 buy-in Facebook by the Russians was enough to destroy the pillars of our democracy. But if you want to live in a free and vibrant nation, you have to live with the externalities of that freedom.
So all things are comparative. We know that people have been imprisoned here, like Dinesh D'Souza. So there is persecution here. There is some tyranny, but the whole system isn't tyranny. We have the granddaddy of the New World Order is still Europe, the European Union. We're certain that we've been given this reprieve. So let's now check the Washington Times, and this was on Tuesday, January 30th. It outlines a little bit about Devin Nunes' discoveries, the dossier. One of the most important, salacious, and unverified documents in modern political history, the dossier begged the question, who paid its bills? Its 35 pages claim a wide criminal conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian intelligence to hack Democratic Party computers. After more than a year, the FBI has not substantiated this. Mr. Nunes subpoenaed the bank records of investigative firm Fusion GPS, which paid dossier writer Christopher Steele, a former British spy. Fusion went to U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia to block the move. The court battle flushed out D.C. law firm Perkins Coie, LLP, LLP, which filed a letter disclosing it had financed Fusion's work with money from the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. With that mystery solved, Republicans are trying to determine who used the dossier's scandalous information against Mr. Trump. And then this article from the Washington Times gets into Peter Strzok and how he was a counterintelligence specialist and the top FBI agent in his Russian collusion investigation. So he got banished to a human resources branch. And then December 1st, Lieutenant General Flynn, Michael Flynn, the first national security advisor, pleaded guilty to lying to an FBI agent, Mr. Strzok, about whether he discussed sanctions with Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. The next day, the reason for Mr. Strzok's reassignment appeared in the press. Then the Justice Department began releasing a lot of text messages between Mr. Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page, chief legal counsel to FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. Now that he's gone, you see, they are kind of tightening things. They're closing the lid on everything. They're trying to keep everything under control, I think. But the lovers talked of an insurance policy against Mr. Trump and the activation of a, quote, secret society after his election victory. Ms. Page referred to Mr. Trump as a, quote, menace. And now we have to interject here that a member of Congress came on Fox News within the last 2 weeks and talked about the story that some of the secret societies were meeting offshore or off-site to, again, plan an assassination of President Trump. So, Lou, I would like you to make a prayer, and will you all pray along with Lou for the safety of our president?
Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we just pray for the safety of our president. We pray that you'll give him physical safety, that you'll protect him from any bad influences that might try to sway him in ways contrary to what you wish. We do pray, O Lord, that you will guide him, help him to make the right decisions, help him to be patient, to get all the facts, and then guide him to do what you would have him do, to do your will. And we just pray once again for his safety, for his intelligence, that is to say his wisdom, and just that you will be his guide and help him to depend upon you to make the decisions that need to be made. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I'm glad, Lou, you pointed out there is a difference between intelligence and wisdom. And I think that Donald Trump has a lot of native intelligence. He has those sort of slanted eyes that I know so well in Irish people and in Scottish people. And it was either his grandmother or his great-grandmother was integral during a repentance move, a revival move in Scotland. You see, there's some lineage there. God knows his people. And even if he is sort of like Osiris in the Bible, God is using him. God is using him powerfully in our country. Now, back to this investigation, Mr. Nunes went in March to the White House to view classified documents, and he discovered that National Security Advisor Susan E. Rice and UN Ambassador Samantha Power had made hundreds of requests, and these were for transcripts of intercepted foreign communication and revealing, you know, people's names. And some of these, they found, pertained to Trump associates. So you see, there was an active surveillance going on. Republicans say Mr. Nunes' investigation led directly to reforms in how officials can request identities of citizens unintentionally collected in foreign surveillance. Supposedly, we have to interject that. The Director of National Intelligence now requires a higher level of approval before a name is revealed and disseminated. Maybe. We'll see what comes out in that report. Now, the final part of this is the FBI conduct. The next step is the release of the four-page memo produced by Mr. Nunes and his Republican colleagues. And we're coming to you on February 1st, so in a few days you should know about this. Republicans who read the document after signing non-disclosure agreements, who read it, rather, said it addresses the
FISA Act and whether the dossier's information was used to obtain warrants. Representative Trey Gowdy, South Carolina Republican and a member of the House Intelligence Committee, summed it up this way on Fox News Sunday. If you think your viewers want to know whether or not the dossier was used in court proceedings, whether or not it was vetted before it was used, whether or not it's ever been vetted, if you're interested in who paid for the dossier, if you are interested in Christopher Steele's relationship with Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee, then yes, you will want the memo to come out. It has been reported, again, this is in the Washington Times, that Carter Page, a Trump campaign volunteer, was surveilled under FISA. The Steele dossier accuses Mr. Page of a series of collusion crimes, all of which he denies. He has filed a libel lawsuit against media outlets that reported the unconfirmed claims. In the 2000s, Mr. Page worked in Moscow as a Merrill Lynch banker, a New York and energy investor. He visited Moscow in early July 2016 to deliver a public speech. He is generally pro-Russia and a critic of U.S.-imposed sanctions. Mr. Page provided a statement to the Washington Times. The unfortunate attacks against Chairman Nunes represent the essence of the McCarthyism that has recently reemerged. For those who try accusing the chairman of partisanship, at least his investigation's recent conclusions in the forthcoming memo allegedly focus on hard facts. In doing so, the House Intelligence Committee's findings should finally help America make a giant leap forward beyond the DNC-funded propaganda that has deceptively dominated the news for over a year already. We're waiting to see what will happen here. If you would like to write to us and perhaps encourage us, or if you would like to contribute any amount, a little bit of cash, or a couple coins, we can't take checks written to us. They have to be made out to WWCR. You could write to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, The Divided Kingdom, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We're not naive enough to think that that renewal of part of the Patriot Act isn't going to do things. In fact, all during these 14 years that we've been on air, we've received mail that was broken into. We've received cracked, broken discs, DVDs. We've received very dirty-looking envelopes that went first to Pittsburgh, and we heard once that it was the Illuminati Center. So I thought we had a joke. Did it go to Pittsburgh? We would always look at the envelope. And now we had somebody send us some rather interesting booklets out of the David Horowitz Center about Antifa and all of the Marxist kinds of leftist, radical, violent protesters during Obama. And these little booklets came, and the thing had been ripped into, but it had a tracking label on it that said lab, and then it had a number, a big long number, but under that it said 2013. Now, we were just wondering, the ordinary deplorable mind wondered, was this a remnant of the Obama years? Was there a tracking lab that was watching for things that come to the real alternative news media? Maybe so. We don't have to worry yet. We're not in Russia. We don't have to worry as much with President Trump, with all of those evangelicals around him praying. But we have a lot more, and I'm not sure how much we'll be able to get into tonight, but we want to also just stress again that a Fox News article, October 25th, said this. In the midst of a court case that threatened to reveal the dossier's funding, it emerged overnight that political consulting firm Fusion GPS was retained last year by Mark E. Elias, an attorney representing the DNC and the Clinton campaign. The firm then hired former British intelligence officer Christopher Steele to write the now infamous dossier. It doesn't look good, and we really need all the prayers that we can for Christians in this country. Time magazine, January 22nd, had a cover portrait of Donald Trump with flaming yellow hair and a black background, and it said year one. And there are mixed articles coming out, some very much against Trump, and that's, of course, by the globalists. But even some of the globalists have to recognize that some very good things are going on. I mean, objectively, look, Lou, this really affects all of us out here in Middle America.
Economy shows solid fourth quarter growth. January 28th, 2018, Washington, AP. The U.S. economy grew at a solid rate of 2.6% in the final 3 months of the last year, helped by the fastest consumer spending since the spring of 2016 and a big rebound in home construction. The fourth quarter advance in the gross domestic product, the country's total output of goods and services, followed gains of just above 3% in the second and third quarters, the Commerce Department reported Friday. The slowdown in the October-December period reflected a worsening trade deficit and less growth in inventory restocking by companies. For all of 2017, the economy grew 2.3%. That is a significant improvement from a 1.5% gain in 2016, but little change from the modest 2.2% average growth rate turned in since the Great Recession ended. Economists are looking for even better growth this year, propelled by the $1.5 trillion tax cut that President Donald Trump pushed through Congress in December. The Trump administration contends that his economic program of tax cuts, deregulation, and tougher enforcement of trade laws will lift economic growth to sustained rates of 3% or better in coming years.
And we have a little booklet here from Liberty Council Action. And this is President Trump's top 12 pro-faith, pro-family actions. We'll start to get into these tonight. Nominates pro-family cabinet, January 20th. I'll just give you the overview. Two, nominates Neil Gorsuch for Supreme Court. Three, reverses Obama bathroom mandate. Four, defunds UN abortion agenda. Five, free states to not fund abortion. Six, supports church-free speech rights. Seven, expands pro-life Mexico City policy. Eight, protects military from transgender agenda. Nine, nominates religious freedom ambassador. 10, ends Obamacare abortion mandate. 11, fights anti-religious bigotry in Justice Department. 12, defends Israel at UN. We have a lot more to say about some of these things, the reactions to his speech and what his real platform is, the good and maybe some concerns that we have. We hope you will tune in again next week to The Divided Kingdom and that you will tell two or three others to tune in. Go to LWRN.net Monday, 5 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Go to WWCR 4.840 megahertz Thursday evening, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Write to us at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. May the Lord bless and keep each one of you, dear precious listeners. Good night. Thank you.